Blog Talk Radio.
What up, y'all? It is time once again for the show. This is Rodney Perry. You're tuned into Rodney Perry Live. Today, the show is going to be flat out incredible. In this game called entertainment, man, you come across people. You get a chance to admire people from afar. And sometimes you get lucky enough to actually meet that person or meet those people. And that's what we're kind of going to be blessed with today. Today, we're going to be talking to a tremendous actress, a great filmmaker, and man, they've put together a project, and what's gangster is how they did. That's what I like. So if you know anything about me, you know I love films. I'm a movie buff, especially movies that tell about the black experience, you know, whether that be Friday or The Butler. You know, I just enjoy movies that talk about, you know, our lives and tell our story. So I'm anxious to talk to Mr. Craig Ross today. I'm anxious to talk to Miss Karen Ward Ross as well. They're a couple. They're a Batman and Robin, but they're getting it done on so many levels. So I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna get a chance to chop it up. Y'all stay right there. This is Rodney Perry. You're tuned in to Rodney Perry Live.
Want to know why I didn't last 5 hours? I just proved the theory of relativity. I mastered origami while beating the record for hacky sack. Found Bigfoot.
Swam the English Channel.
And then I swam back.
And then I took the dog for a walk.
How do I do all this? 5 hour energy. Hours of energy now with no crash later.
Underlay!
The Black Tour is coming through your door. The Black Tour, that's Rodney Perry's comedy tour, coming to you this year. That's right, every city we're coming to. Check it out on my website, www.rodneyperry.com. You don't want to miss it.
Are you ready for more laughs, a new stage, and more Rodney Perry? Well, the wait is almost over. That's right, Off the Chain is coming back this fall on Bounce TV. Bounce TV, our way.
That's right. Off the Chain is returning to the airwaves. Man, we shot a tremendous season of that show right here in Atlanta, Georgia, man. And I got to tell you, I'm very proud. I can't wait for the world to see what we did. It's going to be crazy. Now, when you think about filmmakers and when you think about filmmaking, you think, the whole prospect is getting, I won't say easier because, you know, making a movie is making a movie, but it's becoming more attainable, I think, because there was a time when you had to spend, you know, millions of dollars to get the smallest movie done with film and all of that great stuff. And then digital came along. And when digital came along, it gave a lot of us opportunity to get in the game because the cameras were smaller and less expensive and things of that nature. Now, this man took it to a whole nother level. Welcome, Mr. Craig Ross, to the show. Craig, first of all,
hey.
You taking it to a whole... I don't even know if you remember this, but I remember you vividly. First of all, you know, when you live in L.A., you kind of see everybody. But I think we worked out at
true.
The same 24-hour fitness, and I used to see you getting it in.
Yeah. Okay. No, I remember those days. Absolutely.
Yeah, I just remember being, you know how you watch somebody from afar. I just remember going, man, this dude, if he's half a good filmmaker as he is at hitting these weights, he a beast.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you, brother. I remember. I actually remember my 25 fitness days, man. That was cool stuff. I mean, I'm still working out, but I'm just not at 24-hour fitness anymore.
Now let's talk about, man. You've really taken it to another level. I mean, your resume is ridiculous. First of all, you've been getting it in for a long time. Blue Hill Avenue, which is one of my favorite films. Motives, which was a dope film as well.
But now
you shooting on an iPhone?
I am shooting on an iPhone. Yes, brother. I am shooting on an iPhone.
Give me the technical of it, because, I mean, you're not just holding an iPhone. There has to be tell me how you're doing it, though.
Okay. Well, truthfully, I've actually been studying digital technology for a long time, specifically when it comes to the iPhone. When the iPhone came out, the iPhone 3, shocked me at how well the camera was. It was not professional quality yet, but it was getting there. The iPhone 4 and the iPhone 4S started to become professional. When the iPhone 5 came out, it was a professional camera, as far as I was concerned. In terms of its pixel resolution and the fact that it was shooting 1920 by 1080, which is what everything shoots. Everything that you'll see is, you know, on TV or in the movies, that's what they shoot. So I was like, okay, this is, you know, it's finally here. Basically what I'm doing is I am shooting this film on the iPhone 5 using only existing light. That means we're not carrying lights. We're using practical light, which is, you know, anything that's already there in terms of, like, lamps or what have you, and we're using sunlight. That's pretty much it. How I'm actually, you know, shooting it is, the shooting is a little different. I mean, yes, I'm really just holding an iPhone, although it will have a stabilization, you know, rig with it. I'm really just holding an iPhone, but my eye is different. Looking at through the iPhone to make sure I get, like, completely clean and even lit images. That is the difference now. Used to be back in the day that if you wanted it to look a certain way, you had to shoot it that way.
Right.
In which case you needed a lot of lights, and you needed to control that light in order to be able to shoot it the way you wanted it to look. That's no longer the case. Nowadays, digital has made it so that if you have an even, clean image, you can make it look pretty much whatever you want in post. Post has now become sort of the granddaddy of making films look the way they need to look. And basically, I didn't feel like there was enough people really understanding that this is the way digital technology is pushing us. And so I wanted everybody to sort of get it, everybody in Hollywood and everybody, you know, to sort of get what you can do if you push the boundaries of digital technology. And so that's what I'm doing.
The name of the movie is The Affair, and you are shooting this movie completely on the iPhone. Not only are you shooting on the iPhone, but you're shooting it all with all practical light, which is to wrap your mind around that is dumbfounding. So that's awesome to me, dude. Now you're from NYU, you know, film school. What's inside you to make you say, "Damn it, I'm gonna do this"?
Well, I mean, I've always loved technology when it comes to filmmaking. I mean, I've just always loved it. When the HVX 200 came out, which was the first Panasonic camera to shoot HD, it shot 720p. I was like one of the first filmmakers to shoot that full feature with that. I shot a feature called the Mansfield 12. I was one of the first filmmakers to put a a feature online and sell it through, say, MySpace. I did that a few years ago. So, I mean, I'm just that dude. I'm just the guy. My wife and I came up with this whole thing together, and, you know, she is right there with me, ready to say, okay, let's push the boundaries of this whole thing. And so so I've always been that dude, and now I have a partner that's absolutely that chick, and so that's what we're doing.
Hey, and speaking of that chick, let's bring her in, a fabulous actress, a wife, and obviously a great partner, man. Her name is Karen Ward Ross. Karen, how you doing, sis?
Hey, Rodney. I'm that chick.
How you doing? You
I'm
are
so
that chick.
I am that chick. I am a Craig Ross Jr.'s chick. I'm doing really well. It's really nice to be here with you. Craig and I were looking forward to this.
Man, I'm so glad to get an opportunity to talk with you guys. I saw Motives, and I saw He's Mine, Not Yours, that you completely killed.
Thank you.
I really feel like your character, you know, the levels you showed as an actor in that movie, I think is just awesome. And
thank you.
I'm a fan of films that tell real cool stories, and you guys did a great job. I remember, you know, I'm the type of guy, I go to Walmart and I just pick up a DVD. If it's got black faces on it, I probably own it. Okay? And no bootleg,
yeah.
I buy it. So when I got my hands on this one, I was like, man, this is a really good movie. So well done.
Thank you very much. I enjoy watching your movie reviews, so that means a lot coming from you, because you do have a lot to say about different movies. So thank you for that. That was a lot of fun. It is a romantic comedy. It was a romantic comedy, and I did some damage in His Mind, Not Yours, but I haven't murdered it. I will murder it in The Affair, and that's the whole point. Yes, it's a whole other level that Craig and I plan on bring the film cinematic experience. So,
what's this story? Can you guys tell us the story?
Sure.
For a small fee. No, just wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want me to go, baby? All right, I'll go.
Hold on, wait. Y'all did not just have a couple moments. That was too.
See, what? Okay, fine. I'll tell them. So what happened was I had an affair, and Craig was actually really excited
about it. I decided to record it.
Yeah, so he decided to record it, and we said, you know what, this is a movie. No, that's not what happened, Rodney. But
hold on, I'm about to say, wait a second.
I am. I mean, anyone who knows me and who's worked with me, they do know I'm a method actress, and so, no, I'm just playing. Well, Craig usually says that, so I thought I would beat him to the punch. But no, go ahead, honey, you tell him.
Oh, okay. So what it's about, man, is, I mean, it's kind of straightforward about, you know, what the title is. It's about these two people who are married to other people. And both of them, for different reasons, are completely sort of at the end of their rope in their marriages. And they meet, and one of them believes that having an affair could actually help their marriage. They kind of move into it, but it turns into something completely different. I mean, as it always does, right? I mean, it turns into something that becomes so
animal,
but so animalistic and primal that they really, really can't take it, and it ends up rocking their whole world, including their own prospective marriages, when it sort of becomes exposed that this is actually happening. And so, but it's a movie, you know, but it changes the characters forever. I mean, they're just from, at the end of the movie, they're just two completely different people. And so that's
hoping,
the...
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, babe. No, that's it in a nutshell. Sorry, Rodney, right. As you can see, we kind of complete each other's sentence, sort of, or at least I just jump in on my husband and start talking.
I love it. Y'all like twins. Y'all like, you know, splitting up the sentence. I love it.
A we really are. But, yeah, no, that's pretty much it. We just, you know, it started off kind of as a Craig and I, like we always do, just, well, what if, you know, is monogamy natural? What happens when you have these feelings and are attracted to people, temptation, lust, the power of sexuality, of perception? So we just really wanted a big melting pot, a gumbo, if you will, of all these raw human emotions, and we wanted to take that and just expose it and bring it to a level cinematically that we feel hasn't been done. And coupled with the way that we are shooting the movie, in the cinema verite, very outside of the box, you know, outside of the Hollywood system, just kind of raw way, we decided it matched the inner core of the film and what we think our audience is going to take away from it. So we're really excited about that.
This is Rodney Perry. You're tuned to Rodney Perry Live. Her Twitter is Karen Ward, that's CarynWard, and Craig Ross is at Craig Ross Jr. Let me ask you this, Karen. As an actress, I know this is your baby, your boo. When you start thinking about performing in under these circumstances, are there any reservations at all?
Absolutely not. I plan to be completely emotionally naked, and obviously I can deal with my husband on many levels. And I'm most excited about it because, yes, he is my boo. This project is our child. But, no, if any person can bring out what I think this character is calls for, it's definitely my husband. So, I don't have any reservations.
I don't want her to have any reservations. Okay. She can't have any reservations going into this. We, you know, we've done this before, though.
Yeah.
Did you
see Motive?
I did see Motives, and now were y'all? How long y'all been married? Let me ask that.
It's been 3 years already. No, we've been together for over a decade. So
yeah, but we've been married 3 years.
Yeah, that's right. I forget. Sorry, honey. Thanks for keeping track.
I always say this. My wife and I, we've been married 17 years. We just took our 17 year anniversary, but we've been together like 20. I think marriages. Oh yeah, thanks a lot. Especially in LA, right? At Hollywood,
right?
Yeah, y'all in LA, so that give y'all if three, that's really like 17 too.
Well, she wouldn't marry me. I mean, she would not marry me. I mean, every time I wanted to marry her, she said, no, I can't marry you. I got to leave you now. So.
Will you stop it?
She wouldn't marry me. I mean, you know, I knew the second I saw her. I said, that's it. That's who I'm going
to
marry.
I needed to get myself together first. I think so many times we come into marriages broken and half full.
Wow.
And so it was just some, you know, I needed to get Karen right so that I could be the woman that I know that I am and the wife that I know that I can be. And, honey, don't you think it was every bit worth it?
It was definitely worth it. But it took 9 years, Rodney.
Nine years,
bro. Okay. That's a lot of film searching, ain't it?
That's a lot of getting ready.
Some of your callers and some of your listeners are actually going to appreciate what I said because there's so many half people, broken people, which our characters are in the film, by the way, who try to come into a marriage or a relationship to complete themselves, and it just never works that way. So that's okay. Well, I'll let y'all talk your mess, but I know what I'm talking about. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Amen. Well,
amen. I'm 9 years. Amen.
Hey, let me tell you something. Hey, let me tell you something, Greg. One thing I know, I learned in 17 years is she's always right.
Yeah, there you go. She's
You're a good man.
Hey, not only are you guys shooting this film in a non-traditional way, you're also getting funding a non-traditional way. You have a Kickstarter account. How can people be a part of helping you guys fund this movie, man?
Well, our Kickstarter is actually over. We successfully funded the picture. However, we raised about $17,000, which for us was amazing.
since we're shooting on an iPhone, you know, a lot of our expenses are a lot less. But we still have posts, which is going to be much more traditional. So we still need everyone's help if they're interested in helping us. And,
yeah, we are.
Go ahead, baby.
Sorry. Go ahead, honey.
So as of now, the best place to help us out is on our website, which is theaffairs-themovie.com. And you just hit the donate button.
The blog, babe.
Well, the blog has an issue right now, babe.
Okay, sorry. We have a blog, Rodney, and we're definitely...
I see the blog. The blog is dope. That's why I saw the Kickstarter on the blog, but
yeah.
I see what Craig is talking about. And guys, if you're listening up, please go check out the website. It's called theaffair-themovie.com. Did you guys write this together?
I wrote it. Karen helped me develop it. So
yeah, we conceptualize it together, but the script is all Craig. And of course I have my input.
Of course she does. I mean, she has to.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't think that we could tell this story within the system, and our intention is to really be authentic in how we communicate the story. And it's a powerful story, so that's why we're doing this. Like you said, we raised money on Kickstarter. By the time the show airs, I think we'll be fine with our blog, but people can follow the making of it. We are documenting it. Craig is blogging just about every day. We have a lot of videos showing the behind the scenes, from the casting to location scouting. And again, people can make pledge donations and still get many of the rewards that we were offering on Kickstarter. So that's theaffairmovieblog.com. Again, that's theaffairmovieblog.com. So either one of those sites, people can contribute and still be a part of this project.
I love it. Now, I got to ask you guys, I've always wanted to ask couples in Hollywood or a guy that's in a relationship with an actress. My wife and I have had the conversation on different occasions. My wife, look, don't be going out there kissing nobody, you know. And you guys have been there. What's it like? One, from your perspective, Karen, as the one in the scene with X person, and Craig, the flip side, what's it like being on the outside, seeing your lady like, yo, I mean, is it weird, or do you just kind of know what it is? Craig, you first.
Yeah, okay, you
go, there's a lot of things all wrapped up in one. I mean, because, you know, when I'm directing, I'm coming at it from the director's aspect of it. And so I don't, from that side of it, it's very technical. And I'm in control. I say stop, they stop. I say
they better stop.
Exactly. So, you know what I mean? So I'm kind of in control. So it takes a lot of the other side of it out. Now, as a husband, it's very, very different. As a husband, it's like, wow, I'm like a fly on the wall, and I'm watching my wife have this intimate scene with another person. So in some ways, it's very, like, jarring. And in other ways, it's kind of interesting. So there's a lot of emotions going on all at once. But if I'm working, then the director in me is really taking over.
Wow. Karen, what's your take on it?
I kind of echo my husband's sentiments. I don't have any reservations, and usually I'm so invested in the character and what's happening emotionally that I'm just present with that. And I shut off husband mode, and I see the director like I would work for any directors and other directors I've worked for. So, Craig and I have such a high level of trust. I mean, like you said, we are in this business. I'm in a business. He's a director. There's tons of beautiful women out here in L.A., beautiful actresses who constantly approach him, give them their picture, their telephone number. And likewise, you know, I have meetings with men, often powerful men, producers and so forth. So we know what we have. We have our life as husband and wife, as Craig Ross Jr. and Karen Ward Ross, and then there's everything else. So that's kind of what precedes everything we do. So, yeah, I don't really trip off of that. It's not a problem for me.
Hey, man, I really, you guys are quickly becoming my favorite couple. You're in Hollywood. You're getting it done. The name of the movie is The Affair. You can go to the website, theaffair-themovie.com. All the social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that great stuff is The Affair Movie. With Craig, with you taking this approach, this new approach, how much is social media playing in how you guys are going to even promote it and get it out to the masses?
Oh, my God, it's huge. It's huge. I mean, in order for us to get this far, we had to, you know, rally basically the troops on social media, and we've had some amazing people come forward to help us on social media.
Yes, absolutely.
Social media has been, it's not possible without social media. I wouldn't have been able to do this without social media. So, I mean, social media, I can't tell you how big a role it's playing here. It's creating not only the people that are going to help us make the movie, but also the same people are going to buy the movie when we're done. So
Go ahead, Karen. I was going to say, it's really the connective tissue. It's the you know, how we're able to speak directly to our audience. I mean, they're in on every level, and that's the importance of the Affair Movie Blog, because we really wanted to have that intimacy. We're letting people know every step of the way, so that this is not my movie or Craig's movie. This essentially is our movie, and it started with the Kickstarter campaign. So, like my husband said, social media is invaluable, and we love that. We want it to be a collective, shared kind of experience, not us and them.
Craig, let me ask you this, because I've read your wife's bio.
Yep.
How silly is Karen Ward Ross?
Well, I mean, my wife is an incredibly intelligent, wonderful, sensitive, creative human being, but she definitely has a silly side. Definitely. She can be very silly.
I'm reading her questions, and it's so funny. Little known fact, I'm a terrible speller, S-P-E-L-L-I-R. I was tolerant.
I am. I don't know what happened to me. Some type of traumatic event happened, but I can't spell. Yeah, my husband's in a group all the time, and he makes me laugh at myself. There's no other person in the world. I mean, my husband just, I think, is normal, and he's like, are you serious right now? Like, yeah, I'm pretty goofy. I'll acknowledge that. And I'm a nerd. I'm kind of a nerd, and I'm okay with that.
But I think this is the time of the nerd. Like, cool. This is like nerd time in the world to me. Like, if you look at movies and TV, but the thing we haven't seen, I don't think we've seen the black nerd on film yet, you know.
So, I
can't wait to work with both of y'all.
Well, we can't wait to work with you either, Rodney.
Get Rodney up in the affair, honey. We got to get him up in the movie.
Yeah, Rodney, what are you thinking, man? You want to, you know?
I would love to. And, you know, the thing about being a stand-up is people always just assume that you can only pull off comedy. So I'm always looking for stuff that isn't comedy, that gives me opportunity to show, you know, that I did my acting classes too, you know?
I love it.
I do. I mean, comedy is really difficult. So a lot of comedians I know say the drama is actually the easy part.
Okay, Craig. Yeah. I'm gonna give you this, Craig. I'm gonna give you the questionnaire that your wife created, and you just answer the questions just like she did. Here we go. You ready? Real quick, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. What's your sign, Craig?
My sign is Pisces.
Pisces. Okay. Favorite food.
My favorite food's a hers.
No, your favorite food, baby.
Oh, my favorite food, probably, you know, steak, potatoes kind of thing.
Steak, yep. He loves him some steak, boy.
You're currently reading.
I am currently reading
basically strip boards for the hair.
Say,
but
do you have time to read right now?
I was like, right now, I don't really have time to read. But if I was reading right now, I'd probably be reading Conversations with God.
Oh
yeah,
wow,
that's
nice.
favorite
flower.
My favorite flower. Mine. My
Lord.
Favorite flower is, I just take my wife, the sunflower. I don't really have a favorite flower.
I was about to say, baby, do you have one? But we can just get the sunflower like me.
Yeah.
Okay. Secret obsession.
Oh, I know
secret
that
obsession.
One. One I can say on air, one I can say off of air.
Can we say it on air?
Karen, say them both. Go, Karen, say them both.
Well, I know. My husband loves shoes. He loves shoes and feet, and he loves my shoes and feet. So if you notice, Rodney, I'll give you a little tidbit. If you notice, especially if you watch the affair teaser, both anything we do together, you will always see a shot of my feet and shoes. So just keep that in mind. People can watch the teaser on the website. And I'll start our pledge to Kickstarter. The other one, I will plead the fifth. I'm not going to say that one on air.
Ah, nice. Let's let their mind wander, okay?
Exactly.
Okay, only a couple more, Craig. A secret dream.
My secret dream?
Yeah.
My secret dream would probably be...
Hey, wait, before you answer that, it's okay to say none of your damn business.
Well, when you first asked the question, the first thing that popped into my head was my daughter. So it's definitely something surrounding my daughter, like watching her get married or, you know, watching her raise a family of her own.
Do you see why I love this man, Rodney? Do you see why I love this man? This what
I'm slowly falling in love with him myself.
You are so good.
Okay, a couple of more questions, Craig.
Right.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Oh, man. It's got to be chocolate, brother.
Okay, chocolate.
Yeah.
Dog or cat?
Dog all
day
long.
We have two pit bulls. We are a dog family.
Oh, y'all the real deal. Cause, yeah, I don't like big dogs because they make big piles of shit.
They do. They definitely do.
Last question. Red vines or Twizzlers?
Oh, yeah, come on. This is
a tough one. Now, my wife is a red vine person through and through. But I grew up on Twizzlers. So, you know, I got to say I love my wife, but I got to go with Twizzlers.
I don't even understand that. And when people listen to this, I need them to tweet me. All my red vines, I need you to send me a tweet and send Rodney and Craig some hater tweets. Because that's
what it is. Hey guys, I gotta be honest, man. I love your chemistry. I know this project is gonna be successful because, you know, when you create something in a space where love is, it can't help but win. I'm very honored to have you guys on. Any final words before we get out of here? I'll let ladies first. Karen Ward Ross.
Thank Ronnie, you're amazing. And like I said, we were really excited about this interview, and I think you're an incredible force in this business. So to be able to connect with you right now is just really, really nice for us. And, no, I'm just excited. You know, people can look out for the affair. Like, you gave them the website. Follow us on Twitter. We've got some great stuff coming. Craig and I are both going to be speaking at Digital Hollywood, Variety's panel, all about the digital technology, and we plan to revolutionize it. So please come with us on the journey. We're really excited about it.
Awesome. Craig, final words.
I also want to say thank you very much, Rodney, for having us on here, man. We really, really have been looking forward to this interview and talking with you, and it's everything we thought it was going to be. And we just want to say thank you to everyone that's been supporting us on this journey of the affair, and it is just starting. I mean, we have got a long way to go, and there's going to be plenty of cool things happening along the way, so hang with us.
The website, theaffair-themovie.com, and it's also theaffairmovieblog.com. where you can check out some stuff. Let's immerse ourselves in this film, man. I'm super duper excited for you guys. All the social media is The Affair Movie, and it's starring Karen Ward Ross, directed by my man Craig Ross Jr. Man, thank you guys for this project, dude.
Thanks, Ronnie. Thank you so much. Can't wait to see you on set.
I love it. Right. Hey, I ain't playing either, because I'll crash the set.
Come on and crash then.
My
man. Come on and crash.
Hey, y'all, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Hey, y'all.
Take care.
Hey, y'all, this is Roddy Perry. You tuned in to Roddy Perry Live. Y'all stay right there. We'll be right back with more show. Don't go nowhere.
All right. Rodney Perry. The name of the show is Rodney Perry Live. And you can give us a call and let us know what you think. Direct feedback. This is my number. Give me a call. 404-941-6456. 404-941-6456. Shoot me a text. Say what you want to say. Let Rodney Perry know. You never know. I might take your comment and put it on the air. That's the type of brother you're dealing with. Give us a call. 404-941-6456. The Rodney Perry Hotline. One, two, three, four. The Black Tour is coming through your door. The Black Tour. That's Rodney Perry's comedy tour coming to you this year. That's right. Every city we're coming to. Check it out on my website, www.rodneyperry.com. You don't want to miss it.
Your light, your sweet light. Tiny heart attacks, covet electric thought, heart-shaped chocolates and moonlight drives inside me, longing to love, to cuddle, to cry, to scream, to stay.
I can't do this.
That thought tickles my spine, the muse that never goes away.
Why am I doing this to myself?
To have you in that moment. In that way, that stay, but contrast sticks to my lips.
My husband loves me.
Once again, this is your final warning call for my train 602 to Oceanside, leaving at 3:20 p.m.
Shouldn't be calling you. Sometimes I wonder, do you even love me?
I crave. I starve, I love, I ache. Having loved the only soul I can, the very only soul I can, I relive the pain and your stay.
That is a trailer, the teaser for The Affair. I got to thank once again Ms. Karen Ward Ross, Mr. Craig Ross Jr. for coming on the show today. Thank you. It's Roddy Perry. We'll be right back. It's about to get even more crazy. Y'all stay right there. This is Rodney. We'll be right back, y'all.
Hi. You are not going to believe this. I bought Pepsi Next.
What's Pepsi Next?
It's the new cola from Pepsi. It's got real cola taste, but 60% less sugar.
Real cola taste. 60% less sugar.
Yeah. I know.
It's unbelievable.
But this is the most impressive thing I've ever experienced in my entire life.
Oh, definitely. I've never had anything like it. My parents are going to...
Yeah, they're going to be so proud.
Introducing Pepsi Next. Drink it to believe it.
Are you getting this, honey? Going viral.
Yo, this is Roddy Perry. We are back. The show is in full effect, and it's time for me to bring on my guest for the day, man. This dude is one of them dudes, man. He's got a great story. He's currently on the hit show Nashville, and you know it ain't but a handful of black folks in Nashville, period. So the fact that it's a brother, a star of the show called Nashville, is off the chain. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome him to the show. His name is Melvin Kearney. I think I'm saying it right. Am I saying it right, Mel?
Yeah, you're saying it just right. It is a pleasure to be in your show, Rodney. I promise you, I'm not here in Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. It is good to be here, man.
Man, dude, I became aware of you because of this show, Nashville. But, mm-hmm. man, tell us your story, man, because you were in the military.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. It's like a lot of people call it from the battlefield to the big screen because all of a sudden, you know, after my second combat tour going to Iraq, I got back because I just walked the stage in North Carolina A&T. I thought my military contract was over, but all of a sudden they called me and said, hey, Kearney, we just want to talk real quick. I'm like, okay, let me cut you off. I know my contract's about to end. I want to thank you guys first for instilling all these good Army values in me. You know, I left my A&T, one of my first combat tour. I'm like, you know what? Thank you for everything you've done. They said, well, thank you because you're about to be ready to go back to Southeast Baghdad. It's going to be 102 of you guys. And when I went over there, about, well, five of my buddies were killed in action, 34 guys severely wounded. So when I came back, I just went to Walter Reed. And I slept out of my truck for about 3 months taking care of some wounded guys, some guys that I used to run to the bunkers with. But one day on mission, I got held up. And when I got held up, my base was being hit by rockets. I mean, it was Southeast Baghdad. It's normal for your base to get hit by rockets four or five times a day. So all of a sudden, I'm like, hey, you know, I'm going to take care of some of these guys that got wounded. Lo and behold, when I'm taking care of these guys, somebody said, hey, can you go to Michigan and start taking care of some more soldiers? So I'm traveling the country, taking care of soldiers, motivating them, you know, inspiring, teaching them to stretch your comfort zone. Then it led me down here to Nashville, Tennessee. I bump into one soldier. He got hit by a blast and lost his memory. His wife started crying. She was like, is there any way you can get your photo on the back of a business card? I'm like, yeah, no problem. I could do that, you know, for the guys so they can know my face when they see me. All of a sudden, the photographer said, you got a different look. You might as well pass your stuff forward. I'm like, do what you want with it. I get an email from, like, Nashville Extras. I'm like, you know what? Oh, Extras, those are the guys in the background. I show up to the production office here in Nashville an hour early, walking around, minding my own business. Somebody's like, hey, this was in this audition. So I walk into a room. Guys are walking back and forth, pacing back and forth, stressing. I'm like, why is everybody so serious? I take a seat, relaxing. All of a sudden, this guy comes from the back. Hey, we're going to call you guys back one at a time, and it's going to start from there. So I walk into the audition room. It was like, hey, it was a U-shaped table, eight guys in there. You know, the titles mean nothing because I'm like, you know, I'm military. It's not military titles. All of a sudden, they said, where's your headshots? What's your story? I'm right there. I said, you know what? Everyone asks, why do you smile all the time? Why are you always so hyped and over the top? And people that know me ask that question. Because they know before I left for my first combat tour in 2003 in the Army, my mom passed away of breast cancer. On top of losing my five buddies on my second combat tour, and then coming back from there, my sister down in Jessup, Georgia, passes away. I said, you know what? Everyone keeps saying, how do you still do it? And I think about it. I said, you know what? I was that guy taking my mom to chemotherapy. At her weakest moment, she would say, baby, go back in the house and grab my bottle. I said, Mom, you can chill. Here's your pastor. Relax. You can chill. She said, baby, no, I'm going to read my Bible and scripture to this lady. I said, Mom, no, whoa, she treats you so bad. Why are you going to read the – just relax. Baby, you could choose to never have a bad day again. You can't control your circumstance or your situations, baby, but you can control your attitude. And I never forgot that. So I'm telling this story in the audition. These guys are sitting on the edge of their seats, and they said, so how do you keep going? I think about what my mom said to me, and I don't give up. I keep pushing forward, and now – I'm in a position of opportunity of a lifetime to be able to inspire on a whole different level. Then they stop and say, can you play the role of a bodyguard? Are you asking me, can I do something I did in combat? No one's going to shoot at me. You guys are going to say, cut.
You know what? Right.
And then from there, all of a sudden, you know, they say, next. So I thought I blew it. I'm on the way out. I get a phone call back saying, Melvin Kearney, after you left, they didn't want to see nobody else. Welcome to ABC's Nashville. You got a character named Bo. You're going to be the bodyguard for Julia Barnes, played by Miss Hayden Panettiere. From there, my life took off and changed, and I've shot 10 episodes last season. Right now, we're on film episode 6 of the second season, which is going to kick off on the 25th of September. And on ABC at 10 p.m. Eastern, I'm happy. I'm in a good place.
Man, dude, I got chills listening to your story, man. His name is Melvin Ray Kearney II. He's on the show today, man. You are a true Hollywood success story. And you're on ABC. What else does Melvin want?
I tell you what, and I'd be honest, if I just throw it out there, but honestly, I've been taking care of everybody else for so long, and here's a chance where it's unreal because I'm actually taking care of myself, and I'm happier than I've ever been in my life. I've never thought I had the dream of being an actor, but now that I'm acting and learning this craft and figuring everything out, working with these acting coaches, going to random acting workshops, I'm starting to realize it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to be in touch with those feelings. It's like you don't got to wear the mask all the time, and you could actually show up somewhere where you can lift that mask up and no one's going to judge you. And it's like, you know, I get emails from overseas, from veterans still over in Afghanistan saying, you know what, hey, man, I heard you were a soldier. A lot of us come home hot behind a bottle. I mean, you ran a lot of combat missions just like us, man. You know, I hear you telling everybody, stretch your comfort zone, keep moving. It's like, we hear about your story. It's like, you know, I'm going to come home, I'm working in a prosthetics lab, man. I'm going to give back. You know, I'm going to keep it moving. I'm going to keep pushing forward. I appreciate what you're doing. So right now, I'm just going to keep pushing forward, you know, smiling and being positive. I mean, right now, so many doors are open. I mean, I've just left a photo shoot for Fruit of the Loom at the world headquarters in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And it's like, you know, right now, I'm realizing it's like the fight. I used to say the fight is fixed. The fight is fixed. And it's like, I'm just keeping God first and giving him the glory and realizing it's not about me because serving others got me in this position. So that's why in the mornings I wake up at 4:30 and I go run and I take care of wounded soldiers and speak to them throughout the day and then go on set and film at night or just sit in the acting workshop pumped up all night just learning. I'm not going to stop serving. So to answer the question, what's next for me? Anywhere a wounded soldier or just anybody that needs some help or inspiration, they need me, I'm there. Because I'm not scared to talk. I'm not scared to share my story. And telling my story is so healing for me and it keeps me going. So I'm the guy in the airport. And if you see, hey, what's going on? Where are you from? I'm from Tarver, North Carolina. We got to speak everybody. So I'm like, hey, where are you from? What's your story? So that's me.
Wow, man. Melvin, you can check him out. You can be a part of his online life. Hit him up on Twitter. He's at Melvin Kearney. That's MelvinKearney. And he's also at Melvin Kearney on Instagram as well. Man, Melvin, man, dude, you have no idea. Just listen to your story. Listening to the conviction in your voice is so impressive, man. And especially, you know, as a black man and as a father, it's great to see, you know, a guy like yourself. Take me back to North Carolina A&T. My old football coach was y'all football coach there, Mr. Lee Fobbs. And I played for Lee Fobbs in high school, and I know he was there, but, you know, when he was there, I don't think y'all won a game in like 4 years or something like that.
I tell you, good old North Carolina A&T, home of the Aggies, you know, right when I graduated high school, I'm not going to lie, I was like, I kind of want to go in the Army because my dad was full-time Army, but I want to go to college. So I'm like, what college am I going to go to? And I'm not going to lie, from that first college visit and tour, I'm like, A&T is my place. It's the right place for me. I mean, it was just full of life. The professors were so real, down to earth. They connected with me. And A&T is dear to my heart because I remember when I graduated basic training, I first showed up at a military on the campus of A&T. I'm on the way to class, and I get a phone call saying, hey, Kearney, you're about to go to Iraq. I'm like, I'm from North Carolina. I've been to North Carolina for a while. Where's Iraq, North Carolina at? He's like, Iraq is funny, man. I walk into class. I'm just done. I still go to class. I sit down, and my professors hand out exams. Like, Mr. Kearney, whoa. Whatever's on your mind is not more important than this exam you need to pass right now. I looked up, I'm like, I got a call, I'm about to go to Iraq. She was like, baby, class is dismissed. And from there, she hugged me. And then my whole department, Gibbs Hall, they started coming around hugging, saying, we're going to pray for you. Matter of fact, everybody, hey, here's our email address. Whenever you get to, you email us your address. So I'm over in Iraq. You know, the school could have said, hey, I'll see you when you get back, brother. But no,
right.
They're sending me care packages and gifts at my lowest moment. I could receive a package saying, hey, Aggie Pride, we love you. Ready for you to come home. When you come home, let us know. And then when I came back home, I was greeted by faculty, staff, students. I mean, they just crowd around me because the transition back from a combat zone was already tough enough. But when you come back and the professors say, hey, you know what? If you ever need to step out of class, you just feel overwhelmed, it's cool. But matter of fact, hey, tell some of these guys in class about your experiences, you know, because it's one thing to sit in class, learn about, you know, the criminal justice system or learn about, you know, how to make it to pass college. But it's one thing to learn so much about the criminal justice system and then walk right into a combat zone and apply what you've learned in an active combat zone where your life's in danger. So they would let me get up and speak and tell my story. And by me telling my story, it allowed me to come three-dimensional, allow people to see more than what's on the surface and look past my smile. So it's like when I hear people say Aggie Pride or I see someone in an airport with an A&T hat, I'm like, Aggie Pride? I'm that guy. I am that guy. And then, you know, of course, you know, I become a member of Omega Psi Phi with a new Psi chapter, A&T, so that's got me hyped. And
right.
I'm loving life, and A&T just took care of me. I mean, I go to every homecoming. I'm that guy hopping around, smiling, you know, keeping it real out there. Because they're so supportive. They even support me even for the show. They're like, hey, Kearney, we don't care how big or how small your role is. We're going to support you. We're going to support you, brother. So to have that constant support, that's why A&T is dear to me. That's why all my HBCUs are dear to me. So that's it.
Man. Man, Melvin, dude, you're such a breath of fresh air. I can see what those people saw when you walked into the audition just having this conversation right now, man. You leap out of the thing, man. You leap through the airwaves. You leap off the screen. I remember watching an interview that Jamie Foxx did, and he mm-hmm. talked about how his grandmother – prepared him, gave him the tools before she left this earth. Speak to me about the tools that you got, because it's no accident that you are on ABC on Nashville right now. Speak to some of those tools, bro.
As far as my, I always talk about, like, my mom kept saying, son, you know, you never made all straight A's, son. So, but let me tell you about the true ABCs. Number one, A, your attitude. B, is your behavior. And C, your character. She said, you keep those three things in order, nothing will stop you. And then she always make me go to church. I'm like, Mama, I want to go to church. I'm good to go, huh? I'm good to go. But going to church is really what helped me stay grounded because I've learned so much, like looking at my mama's face at her weakest moment, saying, hey, you know, she taught me how to persevere at a weakest moment when she could have said, I could stay home, and someone could have said, okay, I understand Faye Kearney at home because she ain't feeling well. So Faye Kearney, my mama, she's sitting in the back of the church with a cough over saying, you know what, I'm going to get this word no matter what until it's a breath in my body. I'm going to keep going. So imagine me, a little knucklehead, watching that from my mom. I'm like, hold up, why is she still here? She don't got to be. I'm sitting there, I'm walking out of my Sunday school class, and I'm not paying attention in Sunday school class. I remember walking out that one day. My mom is in the back corner, sick, and I'm blown. And I sit down, and the Sunday school teacher's like, church, real quick, before we get started, every member of this Sunday school class going to get up and tell you what they learned. I was like, what in the world? Well, when they get to me, my plan is I'm going to lean back, look to the next person to my left, and they're going to go around me because the pressure's going to be on them. So I'm sitting back relaxed. All of a sudden, the girl beside me stand up. I won't forget it. Matthew 7, chapter 1, verse. Judge not so that ye will not be judged. She sits down. I said, oh, my God. Boy, she laid it out there. Okay, so everyone's looking at me. I look to the left. I'm like, uh-oh, come on now. Everyone's still looking. The peripheral bridge, I see my mom in that corner. She's like, you better get up. I'm like, oh, man. I got to face my fears. I stood up. I said, I might stutter. I might mess up. They might laugh. But the thing is, I looked up, I saw those Ten Commandments. I was like, thank you, God. He is good. I was just like, I'm going to throw one of these Ten Commandments. I said, thou shalt not kill. One lady stood up. There you go, baby. Everybody started cheering me off. I said, this feels good. So all of a sudden, my mama just had a smile come across her face. So no matter what, like, don't let the fear of rejection stop you. I'm like, Mommy, you can't tell me that. So I'm still standing up. I'm like, God is so good. And everybody, you know, my Baptist church in Tarleton, North Carolina, the whole church started cheering and shouting. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I love this feeling. So the girl was talking, you need to sit down. So I sat down. I'm like, hey, oh, can I say the scripture? And all of a sudden, she said, oh, you can, baby. From there, I started to realize, you know, this fight is fixed. You know what? I love this. I love speaking. I love just connecting with people. And it's like, you know, everything my mom used to tell me a lot of things. Like, hey, you know what, make sure you speak to people when you walk by. Open your mouth up. You know, always mind your manners. Even if somebody treats you bad, you smile. Don't act the way people expect you to act.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay. And now I get that. Those are the tools that I live by every day. Even when people are falling by the wayside, everyone needs some encouragement, some hope. You know, even from my second tour back, they're like, I told people, I said, yo, I smile every day. They're like, okay, wait till stuff starts getting tough. Stuff started getting tough. I remember, like, my truck was hit by a roadside, or my base, when I show back at my base where I sleep, it gets blown up. All I could do, all I do is smile. I said, you know what? I thank God for that kid that we stopped and treated his wound, because if not, that would have been us. You know, so I just wanted to give and continue to push forward. Because my mom said, it's not about you. It's not, because it's not about us. We get so wrapped up in our lives and thinking how bad something. No, it's about serving others. And serving others is what's got me in this position. And giving God the glory is what got me in this position. Because every time, all my plans I had failed. I wanted to be a U.S. Marshal. I wanted to be X, Y, Z. I did my internship as a U.S. Marshal at A&T. And I had my plan, but God had his different plan. And you know what? And I wouldn't change nothing. And I'm quick to tell people all my plans failed. That's why I go with the flow. I smile. I apply those tools my mom gave me, ABCs, attitude, behavior, and character. And I push forward and smile because, look, life is going to happen. But through all the losses that I've experienced, I realize, hey, you know what? Happiness is really smiling in spite of. It's like, because my mom always say, I'm not going to be here forever. I'm like, what, mama? You're like Superman, mama. You're always going to be here. Something happened to my daddy, but mama, you're going to be here. All of a sudden, you know what I'm saying? Well, when she passed away, I remember it's just like it sunk in. She said, until the last breath is out of my body, I'm going to give God the glory, and I'm going to help. I'm going to keep serving. I'm like, and then when they said, and when she passed away, she took her last breath, and I watched. You know, I was crying, but then, you know, it hit me so hard. And I said, everything she said, it hit me like a weight. So I said, you know, I got a choice to make. I could be upset and get a pity party. Oh, you know, his mama died. Oh, you know, his sister died. You know, people passed. But you know what? I said, I'm going to live my mama's life. I'm going to carry on her legacy and push forward. It means nothing if I go out here acting a fool, getting angry, burying all my emotions. Because if we bury our emotions, it's like an open wound. If you don't treat that open wound, it's going to get infected. You'll find yourself snapping off for no reason. Like, where'd that come from? But really, it's your emotions and your attitude that you haven't dealt with. So, you know, I'm learning. It's like I'm learning as I go. And, like, that's why I'm so happy about acting now, because it's like therapy. It's like you could go in there, you could just yell and have a good time and just show those emotions that you've been having pent up all day and not be judged. Somebody's like, oh, my God, that's powerful. Oh, look where you just got that from. Where'd that come from? I'm like, okay. It came from my life experiences. And I'm able to get those off my chest. You know, I'm able to be vulnerable, and it's okay. So, I mean, I'm just getting started. You see, I'm walking in circles. I drove water. I didn't have to film today, but I left Fruit of the Loom, and I came on the set of Nashville where it all started. I'm just sitting in the parking lot. The windows rolled up, and it's hot, and I'm sweating, but I'm not sweating. I'm just sweating because I'm just so fired up and motivated because people say, you're so over the top, but I know how good God's been to me, and I'm not scared to give him the glory, and I'm just getting started. So when people see me walking in, they're going to sit straight up. I'm like, come and eat an apple. Trust me. Hey, competition. Hey, the fight is fixed. If it's for me, it's going to be for me. If it's not, okay. I'm not scared of rejection. And that's why I still remember the first time when I met you. I remember I came back from my first combat tour. I was I went to Atlanta. I started speaking. She's my god sister, Kim Toomey. She said, oh, I want you to meet Rodney. You got to come over here. Meet Rodney. He had a comedy show. I said, God, it was so powerful because, I mean, you're a positive brother making it happen. You always bring joy to so many people, and you're so real and transparent and clear. And I'm like, man, I used to be in my soul. Just look at this guy, you know. He says, oh, hear about him, you know, all the way in Iraq in a combat zone. I'm like, you know what? That's all right. I mean, me being from a small town called Tarboro, I mean, we call my town the bucket because, you know, if you slam a bucket down full of water, a few drops to make it out. I'm that drunk that made it out. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, you know, I get to meet Rodney Perry. Are you serious? His brother's been on TV. He's doing his thing, not giving up. And then it's just like, I'm like, hey, what's going on? You're so cool, so humble, so personal, down to earth, because you hear so many horror stories. I said, you know what? Yep, when I'm here, I promise I'm going to be that humble. So that's why anytime in between sets we have extras out here, hey, I go around shaking hands, smiling, laughing, joking, you know, just keeping it real. And I just wanted to thank you. That's why I got so excited when, you know, when I just had the opportunity to come to your show because, I mean, to be interviewed by somebody you look up to, I tell you, I'm just so humbled and very thankful and appreciative just for this entire opportunity.
Well, Melvin, let me tell you something. You have blessed me and everybody that will ever listen to this. One thing that's great about a show like this is people will pick up this show and listen to it years from now. And, dude, when I tell you, you are a walking light. I mean, I can feel your spirit, man, and I want nothing but the best for you. You gave us so many tenets today in this conversation. You gave us ABCs. I want to thank your mom for giving you the ABCs, attitude, behavior, character. I love this phrase, push forward and smile. Man, that's crazy. That's incredible. And Melvin, the fight is fixed, baby. The fight is fixed.
You already know it. So why fear? You show up anywhere you go, you show up smiling. It's going to play out the way it's supposed to play out. Everywhere I want to go, fail. It's like, and I'm glad they failed. And those doors closed because of a bigger door is wide open. And now I got the opportunity to show up and laugh and joke with hate and panic in the air. You know, and the cast of Nashville, it's like every one of the stars, they always say, Kearney, you know what? You're the real celebrity. You wore that uniform. Do you know how much that means?
Wow.
For people that watch, do several movies, and they just say, you know, you're the real celebrity. You wore that uniform, the military uniform. I mean, I'm still speechless every time. I get the chills every time. Because every time I show up on set, they just say, hey, man, what's going on? We're like one big family. We look out for each other. Even when I'm not filming, I'm sitting on set learning. Because, I mean, if an opportunity presents itself, I bet you I take advantage of it. I bet you. If I got access to come on set, I'm going to sit up here and learn as much as I can. Because the opportunities, you know, you get that one shot. And everyone knows me. I'm the guy smiling every day. Every time I show up on set, whether it's late at night, early in the morning, I'm still smiling. And some people that don't know me, like, oh, why are you smiling so much? What are you so happy about? If you only knew my story. Because just like you, people could see your glory, but they don't know your story. That's why I tell people everywhere I go, I leave people, make sure you tell your story. Make sure you tell your story. Become three-dimensional. Allow people to see more than what's on your surface. Let people understand. You're like, oh, nobody don't understand me. Because you haven't told your story. Let people know where you're coming from. Let people know who you are and what makes you you, what makes you tick. I love it. I'm fired up, Ronnie.
Hey, man. I'm on a ride. We're going to hang out in Chattanooga, Tennessee, man. I can't wait to meet you again face to face. He's from the Bucket, Nashville. He's from the Bucket in A&T, North Carolina, North Clackalacka. He's got a show. Mm-hmm. It's on ABC. You can go to abc.com and see some of the clips and stuff. But, man, I got to tell you, Melvin, you did my heart good today, man. I will listen to this show for years to come. When I need some motivation, I'm going to listen to Melvin Kearney. Go to his Twitter. He's at Melvin Kearney. The Instagram is Melvin Kearney as well. Man, thank you. And that's the most sincere thank you I've given in a long time. Thank you for coming on today. And, man, you are so full of light, man. I can't wait to share the screen with you one day, and I definitely can't wait to see your face, man, and just hang out with you face to face.
Absolutely. When you're coming to Tennessee, when I found you were coming to Tennessee, I saw that fire. I said, you know what? I got to go check my boy out in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So I can't wait to come out there, sit back, laugh, and joke, and watch you entertain. I look up to you. You're one of my role models, one of my inspirations. Rodney, I appreciate you having been on the show. I salute you.
Hey, y'all, he covers so much great stuff. His name is Melvin Kearney. Do yourself a favor and be a part of what this young man is doing. Attitude, behavior, character, the ABCs of life. Push forward and smile. And let me tell y'all something. The fight is fixed. My name is Rodney Perry. That's our show for today. I love it, Melvin. I love it. The fight is fixed from now on, baby. The fight is fixed.
Right.
Wow. Thank you, brother.
Hey, I salute you.
Hey, y'all. Hey, y'all stay right there. We got more with Rodney Perry Live. Don't go nowhere.
Are you ready for more laughs, a new stage, and more Rodney Perry? Well, the wait is almost over. That's right, Off the Chain is coming back this fall on Bounce TV. Bounce TV, TV, our way.